Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and thank you for tuning in to our Thursday night programming of Totally Driven Radio. Heh, but why wouldn't you tune into the greatest show heard all around the world?
A little special for you. My name is Bay Ragney, and I got the chance to talk to somebody the other day, and it was a great, and I mean great, incredible conversation. It wasn't even like an interview being conducted. It was truly just a true conversation. And the person I did this with was, this guy is truly a totally driven person. He is a jack of all trades, which is even more impressive. He's an award-winning guitarist, producer, all-around musician. He's done acting. He's done it all. I mean, he's done all types of stuff in the world of entertainment. And his name is Vernon Neely. He's got a brand-new album out. It's called Out of Time. And we talk about the new album. We're going to play some music from the new album. And conversation. I mean, it was just something that was just so enjoyable to do. And it just made the, you know, it makes the doing this even that much more fun when it just is a flowable thing like that. And I got to thank Vernon for being who he is, because he was just a great person to interview and a great person to talk to. So let's play some music. That's what we're going to do. We have the new album. Like I said, his new album is called Out of Time. And something we talk about, besides, a few of the songs off of the new album, but this song especially, the Jimi Hendrix classic, Fire, he does an incredible version of it, and it's not like Jimmy's version at all. It truly becomes Vernon's version, and he made it his own, which is even cooler. So here it is, Mr. Vernon Neely and Fire.
Next to your fire.
Let me stand next to your fire.
Let me stay.
Let me stand next to your fire.
Let me stay.
Let me stand next to your fire.
Oh girl, let me stay.
Let me stand next to your fire.
Come on, baby. Stand next to your fire.
Let me stand next to your fire.
Let me stay.
Let me stand next to your fire.
Let me stand. Yeah. Yeah, girl, can you dig it? Hey, baby. Yeah, you know what I mean, girl. You know what I mean. Watch out!
Show the failure's all you know, but the must be on notice. There's a new one coming soon. No more walls, no more poverty. You had your chance to show, but failure's all you know. But the new one, for the people you say, hey, well, it's your time. Come on, do it. Come on, do it. Come on, do it.
Welcome back to Legion Radio. Bay Ragney here. You just heard two songs from Vernon Neely. We started it off with his Jimi Hendrix cover of Fire, and you just heard the song Get Your Life Right. Good stuff. It's enjoyable. I mean, it's almost like a soothing, cool music. I love it. So, all right, before we get into the interview, or the conversation, as I call it, I'm going to take a quick commercial break, pay the bills. On the flip side, you're going to hear my interview with Mr. Vernon Neely. Stay tuned.
This is AC Slade, and you are listening to Totally Driven Radio.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings for top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin on the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your ghoul friend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to teddyscares.com. And be sure to become our friends at facebook.com/teddyscares.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our Wacky Stores page on Facebook.
Trash City Beads, the great bead store with the weird name. Selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at TrashCity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom. We are online only. Visit us at TrashCity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson from TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromHolmes.
Of Ex-Wives of Rock.
This is Chris Holmes.
Hey, this is Ron Keel, the Metal Cowboy.
Hey, everyone. This is Todd Latore from Queensryche.
This is Lita Ford, and you are listening to Totally Driven Radio. Kiss me deadly, baby.
Vernon.
Yes.
You beat me.
Okay.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing? Fantastic.
Wow.
Having a good day so far?
Yeah, it's a nice day. It's a beautiful day out here. And are you in California?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Very good.
Yeah, it's pretty nice day out here as well today.
Nice. So you're like the entertainment jack of all trades. And an award-winning one at that. Yeah, guitarist, producer, CEO of his own music label, actor, DJ. Is there anything you can't do?
Well, I try not to fail.
There you go. That's a good thing.
Yeah, but I mean, no. Realistically speaking, Bay, I just look at myself as being have been very fortunate in my career, and just work hard. That's all.
Well, you must be with doing all that. Yeah, you don't have a choice in the matter.
Appreciate that.
Now, you came from a musical family, correct?
Yes. My mom is a concert violinist and classical pianist.
Wow. Now, is that what was the big influence behind you going into music as well?
Well, yes, because my on that side of my mother's family, I mean, all of her siblings played musical instruments as well, and her older brother, my uncle Dennis, was a professional jazz musician also.
Okay.
And so Yeah, the influence was there from a very, very early age. My mother was actually my first musical instructor and teacher.
Oh, cool. Now, what made you choose guitar? I mean, I think it was like around what, 10 years old you picked up the guitar?
Yeah, the Beatles.
Nice.
The Beatles were the my very, very first influence. You know, I was doing an interview the other day, and they were asking about my influences, and I remember so vividly watching the Beatles years ago, very, very young age, and watching them on the Ed Sullivan Show, and that did it.
It's amazing, those Ed Sullivan appearances they did, how much it really changed people's lives.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm quite sure that you've probably heard this before, babe, that it wasn't just the music that they played, but it was the whole cultural revolution as well at that time, the way that they looked, you know, the haircuts, their clothing, and especially as they started as the late 60s progressed and they started getting more creative in their music and just more culturally hip at that time, I would say, you know. So they were part of a musical revolution without a doubt, and it was very
right.
influential.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Now you started playing. Now this is where I get shocked, because I picked up the guitar like at a young age, and then I put it down, and then I picked it back up at around like 13, 14.
Mm-hmm.
You were already playing your gigs, your first gigs at the age of 14.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was a great time. I mean, you know, as I reflect back on those moments, Bay. There were some guys that went to my junior high school at that time that were very, very much into music as well. So every day after school, one of my friends, who is a professional musician as well, still to this day, his parents' house was right across the street from the junior high school that we went to. And so every single day after school, we would go over to his house and rehearse in his garage. And so because we practiced every day, we actually kind of got pretty good. And so they would have these talent contests at the school, and we would get involved in those. And that led on to us actually doing gigs, high school dances, social events, and yeah, at 14 years old, it's great to have your own money in your pocket.
Yeah, right. Especially earning it that way.
Yeah, especially playing music, which was, it, as you can imagine, at 13, 14 years old, doing something that you love to do anyway. So it wasn't work. You know, we were just having a great time.
Exactly. That's great. Now, then you went to college, and coming out of college, you became a radio DJ, a radio personality?
Yeah, well, actually, that's what I went to school for. I mean, because I had already been studying music since I was young. And so communications was something that interested me as well. And so instead of taking music as a major, I took communications as a major and music as a minor. And so from that, I ended up becoming a air personality in a major market, which was the Miami market.
So, like, when you were going to school for that and pursuing that, where was, like, music in your life at that point? Were you
well,
putting
I,
it, like,
I was
back
still
burner,
playing.
Or?
No, I was still playing. I was still playing. I was still playing gigs on the weekends, and you know, fortunately, at that time, I had a radio air schedule that was like from 12 midnight to 6 a.m. So that would allow me to play gigs before that time, and so I was still actively playing gigs and playing music at the same time.
It sounds like you didn't see daylight much at that time.
Well, I mean, you know, because I was still going to school when I got the radio gig. So I was only 19
okay.
years old. So, you know, you got a lot of energy at 19.
And then you go on from there and to not even, like, try to slow down at all. You start adding more to your repertoire, and you start your own music label.
Yeah, well, this came some years after. I mean, what actually happened while I was working there at that radio station, a very, very popular artist at that time needed a guitar player, and it came through a referral of an individual who I'd actually interviewed on the radio station that knew that
okay.
I was a guitar player and I played music. And so it was like, hey, got this position. You want to do it? You want to come up to Philly? And I did. I left the radio station because although I enjoyed radio a lot and it was a lot of fun, you know, my whole thing was being able to play music at a high level. And so I accepted the position and moved to Philadelphia for a few years.
Now, we're in Philadelphia, because that's where I'm at.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, man. I used to. Well, when it was open, I was just asking somebody about the venue the other day, whether it was still open, and they said that they changed it into something else, which was the Latin Casino in Cherry Hill. You know, used to do stuff there, and you know, all through that area there. You know.
So much has changed in the music scene throughout Philadelphia, Jersey, everywhere. It's nowhere near the same.
Yeah, I can imagine, because at that time the artist that I was working for was one of the major artists on the Sound of Philadelphia, you know, Philadelphia International
okay.
Records, and so quite naturally they're no longer in existence today. And so I imagine quite a bit has changed there.
Yeah, it's sad. It really is. So what then inspired you to actually, like, start the label then?
Well, what really, really got me thinking about doing my own label is that I had been with an independent label that was under the Warner Brothers label called Whitfield Records, and this was the label of former Motown producer and hit songwriter Norman Whitfield, who wrote
okay.
tons of hits for the Temptations and other artists for Motown at that time. And so just having that experience, and at that particular time, because I had been working with a lot of various recording artists as a sideman, and, you know, going on and off the road for about 10 years at that time, and I just wanted to have a little bit more control over what I was doing, my career, and so to speak, not waiting for the telephone calls to come in, but having more control over my life and my career. And so
right.
in 1999, I decided to form my own label, because once again, I had been a part of an independent label that was had major distribution through Warner's, and who had with their groups had a lot of major success, gold and platinum records. And so during that time, I got to really, really see the business part of the business while I was at Whitfield Records. And so combining that with my knowledge of radio from working at radio, it really, really gave me a comprehensive understanding of the music business and how it functioned. And so I said, okay, well, let me form this label. And I did, and the label has been going for 16 years now. Wow, man, I had to think about that. Time has passed quickly, but yeah. And in that time, we worked with some great artists in the jazz field, in the rock field, in the progressive rock field, and had some successful projects. As a matter of fact, a couple of the projects have won awards, and other of the projects have charted Billboard Top 10, and so we've nice. Had some good success along the way.
Now with running your own record label and the state of the music business being the way it is, it seems like the big reason why you got into doing your own label was definitely to be the true quote-unquote independent artist, which more and more artists are doing today. Do you think it's a much better route for artists to go today?
Well, let me step back a little bit, Bay, and I'm going to show you why this came about and why it was important for me as an artist, but not only as an artist, but somebody who could give other talented people an opportunity who were doing well in their careers as musicians, but not as the focal point or point of focus in their careers. In other words, very, very talented musicians, but they were sidemen playing behind other
right.
people. And so it was kind of a twofold mission, not only to be able to release my own products, have complete creative control over those products, because when you're a side artist to a label, whether it's a major label, major independent label, or just indie label, you don't have that type of control over your music or your project. What's going to happen with your project? How they're going to market your project? You're completely as an artist out of that particular loop. And so,
right.
At the time when I formed my company, there was a revolution that was going on in the music industry that you see the end result of it today, and that was the digital revolution. Not only the distribution vehicle, but also the way that music was being created, a digital revolution.
Right.
And so my company, Bootsuite Records, was one of the first companies, the very first companies that started selling music online, physical and digital. Think about that. Before Warner's, before CD Baby, before any of those other those companies. Because at that time, in the mid-90s, I had the foresight and the insight to see that this revolution that was going on was going to be the way that music was going to be delivered in the future, and you see the end result of it: iTunes, Rhapsody, and all the other digital aggregators that are out there now.
Right.
And so this was a perfect vehicle for me as an independent, because once again I could control creative content and be able to market it the way that I knew it needed to be marketed. And it's interesting from this viewpoint, because sometimes when you're signed to a major label, they have no understanding on how to market their artists.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Yeah, so I just happened to come along. You've heard the expression, right time, right place.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about with the whole digital age? How has it helped and hurt you both as, you know, the man behind Boo Sweet Records and also Vernon Neely, the artist?
Well, there wasn't any downside, really, until recently. And when I say recently, it's because of the way that the entire music industry has shifted. When I first started out, I mean, it was beautiful, because I was only one of only a handful of people that were doing music delivery like that at that particular time in the world.
Right.
And so because I was on the ship early, so to speak, you know, I was able to take advantage of a lot of things at that time. But whereas now, you know, the global music scene is just glutted with music. And it is because if people can, whether good or bad, can record and release their own music, you know.
Yeah, like you said, where there was handfuls, now there's millions and millions of artists out there on your iTunes and everything else.
Yeah. And so one of the things that has really, really hurt independent musicians like myself and the millions of others globally is that the inequity in the pay system of how things are calculated now. So, okay,
right.
it's fine if you're getting digital downloads, but with the new companies like Spotify, Apple Music, even iTunes has modified their system. So now, where before individuals were having to download your music to be able to get it, now they have streaming. And so the pay on the streaming is worse than what the 60s were for radio to play a song. It's just incredible what these companies are allowed to do with the content of artists. And this goes for major superstars like Metallica on down to your independents. So this shift has really been something that hasn't been good for the industry. And so now you have something, Babe, that has been going on for years in this country. Bills in the United States Congress that, you know, the Grammy Foundation and the RIAA are trying to get a better pay equity system for the creative rights of artists. But Congress has been sitting on this bill for years. And so unless you're selling a whole lot or you're going out and doing live shows, it's kind of a difficult time.
Right, absolutely. Now, are you doing a lot of live shows now because of that?
Yeah, I one of the things that I also do live is I do a lot of clinics and what they call master classes. And so I travel around doing, you know, various clinics. As I'm doing those clinics, of course, I have shows in those various cities, whether it's in South America or Europe or here in the United States. And so, you know, I combine the two together.
Very cool. That's awesome. Now,
yeah.
Your music, onto the music part of you, like, what do you consider yourself? I mean, like, listening to your music, like, on one hand, I'm like, all right, he's like, it's like jazz. And on the other hand, I'm like, that's kind of bluesy. And then on the other hand, it's like, oh, there's a little bit of hip-hop and R&B going on. Like, what do you consider yourself? Is there a specific genre, or you just consider yourself to say, like, hey, I'm a musician, and I am a creator?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting question, Dave, because as I was developing my career as a musician, one of the things that a piece of advice that was given to me was to be a complete musician. And so, meaning that if you are a complete musician, you should have an understanding of at least pretty much all the styles of popular music, whether it's rock, jazz fusion, jazz, blues, country. And so through the years, I mean, I have played all of this type of music, including country. I've played in a country band.
Wow.
And so as you go through that metamorphosis over the length of a career, then when you're creating, you really don't think about things in a genre perspective, so to speak. But for me, it's just creating music, because I understand that you can borrow or adopt various forms,
right,
of music or musical ideas from other genres and inculcate them or fit them into other genres of music. And so I tend to write from that perspective. Now, my greatest influence, as I mentioned to you before, was the Beatles. So the Beatles were a pop band.
Mm-hmm.
And my greatest influence is Jimi Hendrix. So he was a rock icon. And so really my background, or the music that I grew up listening to and was most influential to me, even to this day, is rock music. And so but I don't look at myself as just saying, well, I'm a rock musician. I don't classify myself like that. I just classify myself as a musician, a composer, a creator that uses,
right,
various elements of what's available to create what it is that I'm looking for at that particular time, which brings up the current project out of time, because the message of this particular CD project, I just felt that it would be, rock would be the musical vehicle or genre that would allow me to express the message the best.
Right. And I mean, the whole thing with the genre and creating music, I mean, this goes back to also the freedom of being that independent artist, where you do have that option to create what you feel and not what people are telling you to do.
Exactly right. And for me, that's a very important aspect, because, for example, on the current project, right, I have songs that sound like a cross between punk and rap rock, regular rock, which Greg Howe and I arranged a new version of the Jimi Hendrix classic Fire on this particular project. And And so there's various different elements. I have a blues song because I played with blues legends before, and so blues is the foundation of all popular music today. And so just allowing these influences to dictate the creativity and not classification to dictate.
Right, exactly.
And that's like with the few songs that I heard off the album. I mean, it goes just along those lines. With the three songs had three different feels, and it was great because I love when musical artists have that ability to do that, where they can just create from the heart and just let it go and not have to worry about any restrictions or anything.
Well, I think that's when you're really, really allowing your soul to speak. And not thinking, okay, well, you know, this song is in the top 10 in the rock genre on Billboard, or number 10, this song is in the top 10 on the smooth jazz charts or the pop charts, and then trying to clone, because this is what the major labels like to do. I mean, if you look at, for example, a group like Creed, right? Amazing group when they were together, Scott Stapp and Mark Tremonti, and they created this really, really cool identifiable sound with Tremonti's guitar and his riff writing and Mark Stapp's voice, right? And then look what happened. I mean, the major labels, because Creed sold well, now they wanted their own creeds, you know, and so you had a bunch of clones coming out after that and so that's one of the things that I really dislike about the music business on the major label side, because they're pretty much they're bean counters, and you know, they're interested only really in the bottom line, which is money, and so that's the system for them, but I don't look at music that way.
Right. Absolutely.
And that, also, too, with this new album, Out of Time, I mean, you have a huge lineup of a who's who in the music business that are on this album. Greg Howe, Jennifer Batten, Kiko Lurio. I mean, how did you end up hooking up with all these different musicians to do this with you?
Well, the most difficult part of it was just trying to schedule the various individuals to be able to get that time to record what I wanted them to record on the project. Now, the other part was easy, though, because all of these people that you see as guests on the project are all my friends. I know them all and have known them all for many years. So that wasn't a difficult part to get them to participate. The difficult part was the scheduling, because they're all busy people.
Right. Now, did they come down and actually do it in the studio with you, or was it one of them email tracks back and forth?
Yeah, because once again, I mean, you know, for example, Matthias lives in Sweden, and so you know, it's a lot easier to get to send him the tracks and have him record them than bring him to the United States from Sweden and interfere with his schedule, because he's a very, very busy person as well. Kiko was probably the only one who. Well, Kiko and bassist Juan Nelson from Ben Harper, they were probably the only ones that came actually into the studio to record their parts. But the majority of it was done by me emailing them the songs and having them do their parts.
Isn't that amazing? That whole thing just amazes me. It really does. Did you ever think it would come to that?
Well, you know, this is one of the wonderful benefits of technology, that you're able to to do these things these days because it makes things much more efficient, you know. You don't have to be literally there with a person. For example, when I have a Latin fusion song on the project called Nassau Nights, and so when I was thinking about this song and who I wanted to include on it, because once again, these are busy people. So I got in touch with Frank Gambale, who's also a friend of mine, and I said, "Well, hey, Frank, I need you to do this. This is what, you know, I need the sound to be like." And so I sent the track to him. He sent it back to me with his part. And the same thing with Jennifer, who I've worked with before on a project for Seymour Duncan. So I've known Jennifer for a long time. Even before she started playing with Michael Jackson. Many, many years. Just sending them the music, explaining to them, you know, what I'm going for, and they just send back amazing performances, man. It's such a pleasure to work with people of this caliber.
That's awesome. Now, you did a cover on the album, too, of Jimi Hendrix Place of Fire.
Yes.
Which I loved your version. I mean, you wouldn't even really know it was the Hendrix song until you really get to the chorus. You really made that song your own and gave it a whole new identity.
Yeah, well, that was the whole idea. I'm so influenced by Hendrix. I mean, he really was the person that made a huge difference for me in wanting to become a guitar player and, you know, his creativity. So the song Fire had not been covered in such a long time. And so I definitely wanted to kind of bring it up to date, so that it would have a more modern feel, but still from certain classic riffs with inside the song, so that it would be identifiable as that rock classic that he created.
Right.
And so when Greg and I were putting this song together, you know, I contacted Greg and I told him, "Hey, man, you know, I want to do this song, but I want it to have a different feel. I wanted it to have more of a Living Color, Lenny Kravitz kind of vibe to it." And and so he understood, and so he sent me back a track, and he said, "What do you think about this?" And from there, we just developed the track into what it became, which I think it came out awesome. But we'll let the people decide.
Yeah, I think it came out awesome too. You got my vote.
Well, appreciate that, Bay. Appreciate that 100%. Thank you. Yeah, but Greg is such a wonderful person to work with. I mean, with all that he's accomplished, you know, playing with Michael Jackson and Rihanna, Enrique Iglesias, Justin Timberlake, as well as his own solo career of I think it's like 10 or 11 solo projects himself. He's such a joy to work with. Because he's so humble and extremely, extremely creative, extremely talented. So it's always been just really, really cool to work with him. We did a tour in South America a couple years ago that was just awesome, and we had a great time. So just a wonderful person to be around.
Yeah, actually, I had him as a guest on the show. I guess it was last Christmas. He's promoting his Christmas album and tour and all. And a very nice guy. Very, very nice guy.
Yeah, he truly, truly is a very, very down-to-earth, very humble guy. And it's just wonderful to be around people like that.
Absolutely. So, all right, so the album, Out of Time, where can everybody get the album?
Well, it's available. It's I decided to distribute this one other than my the regular distributor for my albums, because I do have a distribution deal for my company, but I decided to take this independent route this time, and so it's being distributed through CD Baby, so people can go to the CD Baby site, and they can find it on Amazon.com and all the major digital distributors throughout the world. It's available.
Awesome. Cool. And how about you? Where can everybody find Vernon?
Well, I'm actually gearing up right now. I'm right in the process, because the project was just officially released last week. The new single, which is called They Don't Care, the video just for that just came out. And so we're in a promotion mode now. So I'm doing a lot of media stuff right now, and so by the middle of the summer I'm going to be out doing some live shows here in the California area first, and then after that I'll be going to South America, and after that to Asia.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
And then you got to come back to Philly and visit the old stomping grounds.
Well, you know what, man? I would love to come and do a show in Philly, so I'll have to, you know, get with the promoters, you know, because I have a history there in Philly and still know a lot of people there. As a matter of fact, I have family there. I have a first cousin that still lives there in Philly, and
nice.
You know, and I've always loved Philly. I think that sometimes Philly doesn't get the kind of credit that it deserves for its contribution to modern music. I mean, there's been some great talent that has come out of Philly, whether on the pop side, you know, like Hall & Oates, or you know, the jazz fusion side. You know, Greg is from Pennsylvania. You have jazz virtuosos that come from there, like Pat Martino. And so Philly is just an awesome music city, and I'd love to come back there and do some shows.
I would love to hear you. I'd love to see you come back here. And you're absolutely right. I think Philly does not get the respect it deserves.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree with you with that. I mean, there's been some legendary talent that has come out of that city. So it's hard to understand why it hasn't, but you know, people don't remember, you know, the broadcast legend, Dick Clark, his first shows emanated out of Philadelphia, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Blavitt and all those guys. I mean, you know, so definitely Philly is underrated when it comes to their contribution to modern music, that's for sure.
Totally agree. Cool. Vernon, this has been a great interview, a great conversation. I really enjoyed it.
I appreciate it, Bay. I thank you so much for having me on your program to allow me to speak about my career, you know, in music, the current project, Out of Time, which, you know, there's a definite message for the times in this project. If people would go to YouTube and just look for Vernon Neely and look for the video They Don't Care, I'm quite sure that they will see a compelling message in that video for our time. So just looking forward to, you know, getting the project out there and people hearing the music and seeing the videos.
Cool. And I'll, you know what, I'll share that stuff out on our social media sites as well for you.
I would appreciate that, Bay. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you, Vernon. Take care, my friend.
You too, Bay. And it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Like that, put him in the car, probably beat him in the back. Can't wear a hoodie and you can't wear a hat. And you hit him with a question, but he can't answer back. Look the wrong way and they probably leave you flat. Legal with the murder, well, how you figure that? $1 million bail, how you get another chance? And you roll on the news, but where you go with that?
They don't care if you can't eat. They don't care if you sit in the street. They don't care if you live or die. Bring a cow and get them hot. They don't care if you can't eat. They don't care if you're sleeping on the street. They don't care if you live or die. Bring a cow and get them hot.
What's more to prove? Got a rapist on your block, got disease in your food, and you still got the racist people coming after you. They hate intelligence and they hate the money too. Not a single thing good when you turn on the news. More sinning, more killing, more fake issues. But the fake issues cover real issues. And you worry about another way, you got a problem too.
They don't care if you can't eat. They don't care if you're sleeping on the street. They don't care if you live or die. Bring a cow and get them hot. They don't care if you can't eat. They don't care if you're sleeping on the street. They don't care if you live or die. Bring them cow and get them hot. They don't care if you can't eat. They don't care if you're sleeping on the street. They don't care if you live or die. Bring them cow and get them hot. They don't care if you can't eat. They don't care if you're sleeping on the street. They don't care if you live or die.
They'll throw you in the sewer, they ain't worry about you. They'll treat you like manure, they ain't worry about you. If you lose your life and your job, they ain't care about you. You can lose your wife and your mom, daughter and your son. Thought it was a thug, but that's a cop's gun. Life and your job, your wife and your mom. And you thought it was a thug, but that's a cop's gun.
Vernon, the door is always open. Whenever you need to promote something, give us a call, and we will gladly share you with the world of Totally Driven. Thanks again for everybody tuning in. Thanks to Vernon for sharing his music and his story with us in an excellent conversation. And right now, my buddy Nick, he's going to tell you more about all the other shows on our network. And until then, make sure you stay driven. See ya.
Did you know that Totally Driven Entertainment has tons of different podcasts? As a matter of fact, we have podcasts on every day of the week with topics ranging from politics all the way to pro wrestling and total entertainment. On Monday nights, you have two amazing shows. At 6 p.m., you have Hard Talk with Big Daddy and Big Booty Trudy. And at 11 p.m., we have the new show,
8 Flights Up.
So you guys definitely going to want to check out those two. On Tuesday at noon, we have Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferreira, where Mike gives us a rundown of everything in the world of professional wrestling this week. Moving into midweek, we have three shows that are totally different and totally driven. At 9:30 a.m. on Wednesday, Hump Day, we have the Coco and Wee Wee Show. On Wednesday at 8 p.m., journey into the world of comics, cosplay, and more with Give No F's Cosplay, one of our newest shows. That brings us to Thursday. Thank God it's Thursday, because at 5 p.m., we have Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferrer, where he wraps up the end of the week and talks a little bit about SmackDown, NXT, and some Japanese wrestling. Thursday night at 8 p.m., the show that started it all, Totally Driven Radio, with your hosts, Bay Ragney and Nick Wilkinson. This show has a little bit for everyone. There's celebrity gossip, interviews, Hollywood reporters, Dancing with the Stars moments, metal, mayhem, and Moondog. Friday nights at 8 p.m., Uncle Shawnee's Playground is guaranteed to make somebody mad and somebody cry. At 10 p.m. on Friday night, we have the LAW Retro Wrestling Hour, where we talk all about the golden age of wrestling and what it was like back then to see amazing men do amazing things. Hey, and some of our best programming is on the weekends. On Saturdays at 10 a.m., you can listen to the Mojo Sports Show and talk all kinds of sports with Mr. Mojo. At 9 p.m. that night, Bay Ragney does Totally Driven Radio Rocks, where he features different kind of music, different songs, different eras, just whatever's on his mind that week when it comes to music. Sunday Funday at 10 a.m., start your weekend off with a big weenie. The Big Weenie Castanini Show is on every week, and it's sure to please. And end the week with the Nerd Herd at 9 p.m. on Sunday nights. You can join the TV Nation, and you can talk all about the latest in TV, comics, and comic book movies. Bay's going to tell you what he's been watching. We're going to talk about our Men in Tights. And finally, we're going to do our top five list each and every week. It's a different list. Hey, and if you're not busy listening to your new favorite podcast, check out some of our social media pages. You can find us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Periscope, and more. Totally Driven Radio. Get driven. Stay driven.